That's great.
Shekinah Encounter Center is an apostolic platform mandated to reveal the way and do good to humankind. As you pay attention to his anointed message, it's guaranteed that your encounter with destiny has arrived. Now, Apostle Jotham Bobai Adams.
Hallelujah. I want to welcome each and every one of us. Beatrice, welcome. Thank you. You are part of the new people that God is bringing. Hallelujah. I want to welcome each and every one of us. Are we ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We said till our anniversary will be 1 year officially by next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. 1 year officially. Many have come and many have gone. God has really been faithful to us. God has really been faithful to us. And I believe God will help us by the time we get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 3 to 4. John chapter 3 verse 16. Matthew 28 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 to 4. John 3 16. Matthew 28 verse 18. The topic today is evangelism for all round possibilities. Evangelism for all round possibilities. What I'm about to teach tonight, like I said 2 weeks ago, we'll be considering topics on evangelism till our anniversary, and I believe God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. What I'm about to say, I was after preparing the sermon, I was reading my Bible this week, and I saw in Ephesians 6, the Bible says, evangelism is a tool, one of our weapon of warfare, or one of our armor. It's a having our feet shod with the gospel of truth. So, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, anybody can, in any of them, John 3:16, Matthew 28 verse 18. Anybody, evangelism for all round possibilities. How can evangelism make things to become possible for you? Anybody in any of those scriptures can help us read? 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 3 to 4, John 3, 16, Matthew 28, 18. Yes, ma'am. For I have delivered unto you, yes, ma'am. Yes. Christ died for our sins, yes. 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 Hallelujah. John 3:16. Anybody there? Anybody can quote it for us? Yes. Okay. Matthew 28:18. This breeze is not allowing me to open. Matthew 28:18. Yes. Yes. Verse 19. Yes, ma'am. You can read verse 19. 19 to 20. Hallelujah. Yes, continue. Yes. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So what is evangelism? Generally, I will give us 5 explanations from scripture. When the Bible says evangelism, or the general concept, number 1 is bringing the good news of the gospel of salvation to man. Bringing the good news of the gospel, or bringing the gospel to men. Bringing the gospel. The gospel generally means good news. Romans 10:15, Matthew 4:23. Anytime you go to people and you tell them, I was told that I was fast last week. Okay, let me reduce my speech. Anytime you go to people and tell them of the truth of the gospel of Christ, you are evangelizing to them. You are telling them the good news of the gospel. Number 2, general meaning of evangelism is spreading the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28 verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that have come. So anytime you spread the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ, you are evangelizing. You are evangelizing. Anytime you spread the teaching and the preaching of Christ, anytime I take a bike, the first thing I say, you Muslim believe in this? This is what Christian believe. You begin to educate them of the teachings of Christ. Number 3, meaning of evangelism is explaining the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus to people. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 26. Anytime you explain the meaning of the birth of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are evangelizing to them. When we go to evangelize, we tell them about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Number four, evangelism includes warning people about sin and the consequences of sin. John 16 verse 8, Acts 24:25. When you warn people about sin and the consequences of sin, John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent ye," and was preaching to them about sin, "you brood of vipers," sin and the consequences of sin. Hallelujah. Anytime we go to evangelize, we tell people, this thing you are doing is bad, and this is the consequence. This is the consequence. Anybody in John 16 verse 8, warning them about sin. Since you are not writing, can you help us be reading the scriptures? John 16 verse 8, warning people about sin and the consequences of sin. Hallelujah. John 16 verse 8. Yes. When the Holy Spirit, speaking about the Holy Spirit, when he will come, his work is to rebuke the world of sin. Yes. Of righteousness and of judgment. Hallelujah. So anytime we go to evangelize, we are telling people about sin and the consequences. Number five is, anytime we go to evangelize, we are revealing the finished work of God. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 4. Anytime we go to evangelize, we are revealing to people about the finished work of God. What God has done for you. What God has done for them. The both sides of evangelism are good. When you go to tell them about their sin and the consequence, and then you reveal to them, idea kid, and then you reveal to them the finished work. Yes, Isaiah 12 verse 4. Yes, ma'am. Yes. In that day shall they say. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Declare he is doing and made mention that the name of Christ has been exalted. So when you go, there was a man of God, Jonathan Edwards. He was known for his sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, telling people God is angry. And in his days, he pulled crowd to the saving Lord, to the hand of our saving Lord and Savior. And then there's another man called Billy Reabonke. All of us know Reabonke. He preaches the love of God. God loves you. God loves people. God loves you. So even Billy Graham preaches the same kind of message of love. So John the Baptist was also one of the preachers that was preaching about sin and the consequences. He was insulting and telling them about it. So when you go to evangelism, we tell them about their sin and their consequences, and we also tell them about the finished work of Christ. And there is something we need to know, that in Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 20 and Mark 16, 15, when God was telling people, go ye into the world, was a general call to everybody that is a Christian, everybody that is a believer, has a general call for evangelism, to tell people about the finished work of God, to tell people about their sin and their consequences, to explain the life of Jesus Christ, to preach that. So every Christian has that teaching. When you talk about the pastors and the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4 verse 12, the Bible gave their needs. 4 from 11 to 12 says their responsible is to edify and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That means apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors are responsible for teaching people and helping them to be able to be effective in the work of the ministries. So evangelism is a general call for each and every one of us. And I believe as we listen to this sermon, God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God will spur up our hearts, our passion for the Lord, and to be able to be active in this thing. To be able to be active in this number. So why do we go in evangelism? Why should we evangelize? Why should you have interest in evangelism? Number one, God gave it as an instruction. In Matthew 28 verse 18 and Mark 16, 15, God gave us the instruction, go and evangelize. Just like the Bible says, be thou holy. It's an instruction. Go ye therefore and preach. It's not a suggestion. It's an instruction. Just like if the Bible says, be thou holy, and you refuse to be holy, it's a sin. Go ye therefore. So God gave us an instruction to preach the gospel. Number two, the Bible reveals in Joel chapter 3 verse 14 that multitudes are in the valley of decision. Joel 3:14. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. Multitudes are in the valley of the Joel 3:14. Joel 3:14. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. So we need to, can anybody help us read that scripture? We need to evangelize to people because a lot of people are in the situation where they need to make a decision about their life. where they need to decide on which part of their life to stand. Where should they go to? Multitude are in the valley. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Multitude in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. But many in the valley of decision. Now, in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah was asking a very paramount question. He said, how long will you be between two opinions? A lot of people are really in the mix on what should they do with their life. Is Christianity the way forward, or should following Christ be the way forward? And I believe God will help us. We need to go, because there are many people that have not yet made a decision for their life, and multitude are in that state. Number three, reason why we should be on evangelism on a daily basis is the devil has closed the eyes of people in deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 4, 3 to 4, and Galatians 3 verse 1. The devil has blinded the eyes of many people. The devil has blinded the eyes of many people. Yes. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, Paul was speaking to the Galatians, or was asking them, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Hallelujah. So many people have been blinded by the devil. Many people have been blinded by the devil. So that when you tell them about holiness, say pray from immorality, their eyes have been blinded to sin. Many people have been blinded to all manner of things. So that when you tell them about the truth of the gospel, they don't listen to you. You see somebody in an obvious error. This thing is wrong. To even to your normal reasoning, just like a man of 54 years pursuing a young lady of 23 years. Common brain should tell you it is wrong. Is that not true? But the devil has blinded their mind that they cannot see. Somebody is constantly stealing from his mother, father. You talk to them, they don't hear. Why? Because their mind, somebody is on alcohol. Today you carry him on gutter. Tomorrow he's addicted. He's borrowing money. They are addicted in one form. But you talk to them, they will never hear. Because the devil has blinded. That's why you go to people, you talk to them, come to church. Your marriage is not working. Your finances is not working. Your life is not in order. Come and listen to the gospel that will help you. But they will not come. Because their mind has been blinded. There is nothing you will do. They will not go to church on Sunday. They will not go to weekly activity. They have nothing to do with God because their mind has been blinded. Hallelujah. So anything they are doing is not really by their own self. So we need to go to evangelism to open their eyes. Number four, unless the word is preached, no repentance is guaranteed for any sinner. Romans 10 from verse 9 to 16. Romans 10 from verse 9 to 16. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. Unless we preach the gospel, people will not repent. Romans 10 was telling us about how to get saved by confessing Jesus as your Lord and a personal Savior. When you read from verse 13 to 16, was telling us that unless people hear the word of God, they cannot be saved. The only thing that can save people is the gospel. It's until you open the Bible and tell them about the truth, or you preach to them in whatsoever form you have to, people will not be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So unless we evangelize to them, they will not be saved. Unless we preach to them, unless we tell them. You know somebody that is in sin, or one way of character assassination, one way or the other. Unless you tell them, they cannot change. Hallelujah. They cannot change. Number five reasons why you need to evangelize is the danger of hell and eternal damnation. The danger of hell and eternal damnation. We have looked at hell before. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means anybody that refuses to believe in Jesus Christ is doomed to be perished, is doomed to be destroyed. And then number six is why we need to evangelize is the time is short and unpredictable for unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. Time is short and unpredictable for unbelievers. The devil can kill an unbeliever anytime he wants to kill him.
The devil can destroy an unbeliever anytime he wants to destroy him. The devil can kill a cultist anytime he wants to kill him. The devil can kill somebody in the fraternity or one cult or the other anytime he wants to kill him. Why? Because their lives are unpredictable. Unlike the life of a believer that we are being preserved. That the devil cannot kill us when and how he wants to. Their lives is unpredictable. We don't know if we'll see them tomorrow. Accidents are happening. 108 people die every second. So their life is unpredictable. We need to save them and preach to them the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So because God gave us the instruction to preach, number two, multitude are in a valley, and then the eyes of many people have been closed, and then unless we preach to them, they will not change. Hallelujah. They will not change unless the word is preached to them. So what are the strategies for evangelism? I want you to listen to me very carefully. What are the strategies? How do we evangelize the gospel? Is it only by standing on the pulpit? The first strategy of evangelism is by lifestyle. Lifestyle evangelism. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5. 1 Peter 3 from verse 1 to 5 was talking about wives married to husbands that are not born again. The Bible says, by your character, by this system of evangelism, I know I have won like 3 or 4 of my friends to Christ. Not one day of preaching to them, but they, by looking at my life. Most of them that were womanizing ceased. Most of them that were into addiction, alcohol, most of them ceased. I know of one that repented from occultism because of, by looking at, the Bible speaking in Matthew 5, 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. There are many people, those of us that stayed in the campus, you know that it is difficult to preach to your roommate. Is it true? It is often difficult to preach to your roommate. Why? Because you eat the same food, you are in the same clothes. They know the Bible says a prophet is no honor. So the only way to effectively communicate evangelism to people that you cannot talk to them directly is by your lifestyle. The way you live your life, you are in a group together, you don't talk the same thing they talk about. They are talking about ladies, you keep quiet. If it happens for 3 months, they will know the difference about your life. They are talking about party, you don't join them. By the way you dress, by the way they dress, they expose their body. But you are a lady now, you also dress with them, but they see the level of decency in you. By your lifestyle, you will tell them that there is something unique about you. The way they spend their money, the way they see you spend their money, the way they spend their time. They have an average time, they are watching pornographic movies, and then you are with them in the same room. But when they look at the things you do with your lifetime, when you have a spare time, you are listening to a message, you are worshiping God, or you are doing something productive. So by your lifestyle, I believe this is one of the strongest ways of evangelism, when you preach to people, by your lifestyle. As many of us are in this, you know, the Bible speaking in Acts 11 verse 26 says, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You know, the word Christians means Christ-like. Correct? Is that correct? The word Christian means Christ-like. That means when they looked at them, like, they looked like Christ. They looked like Christ. I have a very close friend. All of us, I believe you know him. You know, my friend Tom. When we have a mutual friend together, her name was Abimbola, she will ask me something. And then I will give her the answer. Then she will leave me and go and meet him. And then ask him the same thing without me and him talking. And he will give her the same answer. Why? Because we have stayed together for a while. So we reason together. Have you ever had people say that after a while, husband and wife begin to think the same way? Have you ever had this like that? Have you ever had this like that? Yes, because after a while, their thought pattern have been infused together. They have experienced almost, they almost think at the same rate. That's what the Bible says. And oh, there's a saying that says, best of a feather flock together, be not deceived, wrong company corrupt good morals. You will eventually look like your friends. You will eventually talk like your friends. So by your lifestyle, you can evangelize to people. If you don't have the boldness to open the Bible and shout and preach hell out of people, live a lifestyle that will make people want to give their life to Christ. Hallelujah. Number two is testimonies and acts of God. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 20 to 21, and John chapter 4 from verse 28 to 29, your testimonies and your acts of God, that is called witnessing. In Mark chapter 5 from verse 20 to 21, the Bible is speaking of a madman that was healed in Gadara. When he was healed, the Bible says he went about and was declaring of the things that God has done for him. And in verse 21, the Bible says, when Jesus moved, multitudes came to him. Multitude came to him. Anytime God do something for you, tell it to people and tell them, come to see my pastor. Come and hear this man of God. He will teach you what you need to live your life. He will teach you how to. So you tell people about what God. If you cannot open the Bible and preach an ecclesiastical or a good sermon, you tell them about what God has done for you. Tell them about your pastor. Tell them about your pastor is anointed. He can teach you how to live your life. Come and hear this teaching. Give them the message. And then tell them about the act of God for your life. Tell them about the testimonies you have experienced. In that way, you will be able to pull people to the light. In John chapter 4, verse 28, like I said earlier on, the woman that was with Jesus at the well, when she encountered Jesus, the Bible says she went round about and was telling them, come and see the man. Come and see the man. So anytime you had an encounter, go around and tell people, come and see. Bring people to church. Tell them the things that God is doing in your church. Tell them the move of the Spirit that is happening in your church. Have you ever listened to our choir? Come and listen to our choir. Have you ever listened to our woman of God? Have you ever listened to our man of God? You need to hear this. You have a problem with your finances. Come and listen to the messages of my pastor. The messages will help you. You have a problem in your marriage. My pastor has a revelational knowledge about marriage. He can teach you about how your marriage can work. So you tell them about things that I helped you. Share your testimony to them. It's a strategy of evangelism. Number three is the manifestation and demonstration. Manifesting and demonstrating the gift of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 3 from verse 6 to 10. And Matthew 9:31. Acts chapter 3 from verse 6. When the man was healed at the gate, the Bible says he stood up and went and was telling people, he was shouting. So anytime you demonstrate the move of the Spirit, I will be seeing very soon in this ministry as we demonstrate the power and the move of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. People will be pulled to listen to the gospel. People will be pulled. And you know, there are many men of God that we know that they are fake, that they are diabolic. But you wonder why people still go there, because anywhere there is demonstration of a supernatural power, people want their problem to be solved. Even if it's Babalawo, Mamalawo that is giving a solution, they don't care. All they want is their solution to be mentioned. So as Christians, we must be able to grow to a level where we demonstrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. We demonstrate healing. We demonstrate faith. We demonstrate the working of miracles, speaking in tongues, divers on interpretation, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We should be able to demonstrate these things. The Bible says, unless they see signs, they will not believe. There are people that will never listen to you, no matter how sound your sermon is. Now, in fact, it was Jesus that said that unless they see signs, it's not Jesus that said that. Jesus that said, unless they see signs, they will not believe. That means as anointed as Jesus was, as ecclesiastical or as anointed or theologically balanced his sermons were, they will not listen till they see a sign, till they see a demonstration of the Spirit. So as we manifest the gift of the Spirit, it's a sign of evangelism. It's a strategy. And then number four is personal evangelism. Luke chapter 12 verse 8. Can we read that scripture? Luke chapter 12 verse 8. Personal evangelism, group or public evangelism. When we call our people, let's go and evangelize. Personally, I had a testimony on Sunday of somebody that he was very broke. Very, very broke. And then he came and then he heard about evangelism and he joined. And then he got the job, and the job took him out of the country. His life changed around over and over again. You hear about people involving in personal evangelism. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Anytime you tell people your identity, you tell them about Jesus Christ, Jesus will tell people about you. I know there are many of us from January to April today, you have not gone on personal evangelism. Let's say you carry your Bible or you went to somebody, and personally on your own, you say, I want to tell you about Jesus. Or you call a friend purposely. The reason why you call is not to check on how far you call, to tell the person about Christ, about the love of our Savior. Personal evangelism on your own. You went, you go out just to win your soul, to tell somebody about a neighbor, a friend, a colleague, a partner, or someone somewhere. And then we go on personal and group evangelism. Anytime your church or the ministry calls out for a group evangelism, it's a strategy by the kingdom to go back. The Bible says he called them and sent them 2 by 2, 3 by 3. So it's a strategic platform for us to be able to evangelize the gospel when we go on personal and group evangelism. And then number 5 is wide scale. When we are talking about crusades, media, and then other large scale. In Mark chapter 6 verse 6, the Bible says, he went round the cities and all the villages. He went round. So this is on the last scale now. You begin to go to villages from Okene to Kaba, from Kaba to Ogori, Ogori to Ubasa. From city to city, from places on media. We are uploading our messages on the internet, and I've been getting response of people listening to them. We go on live scale where you'll be able to meet a lot of people. Like this message now, not only us that are here will listen to it. Many people will listen to it and they will listen to the sermon. So you will go on large scale evangelism where you'll be able to lead a million. I listened to Stevie analysis that Dunamis TV. Now you reach hundreds of thousands right the country, beyond the country, and you go to evangelism. So there are many ways to evangelize. If you can, of course, all of us should be able to live lifestyle evangelism. And then you should be able, in case you cannot preach, share your testimonies and share your encounters or share your experiences. I don't know that God is good to me at all. I was sick and God healed me. I had this financial. You meet somebody telling you that I don't have money, I am broke. Tell them your story of how you are broke and God showed you this way. This was God. God showed you A and B. Tell them your personal testimony. Tell them your personal testimony and then go on demonstrating. Go for the gift of the Spirit. The Bible also teaches us to desire spiritual gift. Go for them. And then you demonstrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I went to Koji Poly to preach last 2 weeks. Yes. After the demonstration of the gift of the, I was shocked at what the Holy Spirit did. Then after a while, and then I made the other call. The same people that were around last week, the day before, and they didn't come out from the other call. After today, they saw the demonstration of the Spirit. Their spirit were more alive to receive the ministry. So there are people that they will naturally not listen until they see a demonstration of power. So we go for the gift of the Holy Spirit and be able to release of the Holy Spirit. And then you go on personal evangelism. There are people that no matter how you talk, they will not preach to somebody. No matter, there is no amount of talk you do, they will never go to stand up and tell somebody. But then same people, when MMM came, or those cash flow quadrant, those kind of things, they became powerful evangelists on social media. They say refer 2 people and get 10,000 naira. They will refer 30 people. They have a strategy to evangelize for money, but to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, they are shy. And the Bible says, if you don't tell people about me, I will not tell God about God. I'll not tell people about you. I remember David. All of us, I remember when I told you David, she was shy because he has a way of pulling crowd. That's what he said. When he was around, you know this guy was a workaholic. He liked doing things. He was addicted to kingdom. His church, here, everywhere. He was moving up and down. I spoke with him today. He's living in a 1-bedroom self-contained. Look, the person living from 1 room to 1 bedroom, all of the sudden. So that is the way that personal evangelism can change your life. You just sell yourself to God. Hallelujah. Your life can change all around. So what are the benefits of evangelism? Number 1 is you carry the presence of God. The Bible speaking, he said, the Lord went with them. And then number 2, Daniel chapter 12 verse 2-3 says, that is, those that bring many to righteousness, they will shine like the stars. The Lord will beautify your life. I was not thinking about David now. The Lord will beautify your life. Preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Your life will be beautified. Hallelujah. Your life will be beautified. There is nobody that has been a preacher and leading people to Christ that will never, his life cannot be beautified. It's not possible. Your life, the more you do it, it will look as if there's no result. Like we are doing our 1 year anniversary, look as if there's no result. But as we continue in persistence, continue, a day will come when your reward will come. God will beautify your life. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Your life will be beautified. And as we do it, our life will be beautified in the name of Jesus Christ. Anytime you go on evangelism, you deepen your understanding about the fundamental truth of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it deepens our understanding. Being confident of this very... No, I don't think this is a scripture I want to read.
Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Anybody there can help us? 2 Timothy 3:15. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. From a child that was. Yes. Hallelujah. As you go to evangelize, you deepen your fundamental. How many of you have gone to evangelize before and then the unbeliever asks you one question that you cannot answer? How many of you have had that kind of experience before? The person asks you one question that you cannot answer at all. Have you ever had anybody have that kind of experience? You have not had? Yeah, me, I've had plenty. They will ask one question and they will say, one day I was with somebody. And you know the Bible says, of all the things that Jesus began to do, if they write it in the pages of the Bible, the Bible will not contain it. How many of you know that scripture? Then the person opened to Luke chapter 1 verse 1. Then Theophilus was saying, of all the things that Jesus did, I am writing to you. So the Bible, the person was telling me now, the Bible says all cannot be content. And this one is saying all of them are content. So can you explain to me now? And me, I've read this scripture and I've never noticed this difference. I stood there, I could not answer the person. I was also looking. I was like, see sense. I know it's not him that has, it's the devil that gave him this kind of wisdom. I mean, if you have listened to Muslim apologetics at all, they will raise questions that you have to think, that they will push you to study your Bible again to have answers to them. They will sit down and think, and there's a way they raise intelligent questions. So as you go to evangelize, there are many people. I was evangelizing one guy here across this road here. His name was Aaron. He was a Christian before, and then he became a Muslim. He was telling me about living. He knows all the church. The guy was quoting Bible like he was an apostle. He was quoting Bible. He knew scriptures. And he was asking me some certain fundamental questions. And I needed to. And as you do these things, they keep asking you questions. They keep asking you. And then it strengthens your faith. Things that you think you know, when they ask you, you know the devil is wise. He is the one that gave them that thwarted wisdom. So that they'll be able to, as you do them, you deepen your understanding. I learned a lot of things more by evangelism. Hallelujah. And then your life grows. As you do them, your life grows. Your life grows. Then also, evangelism will increase your persecution level. It will increase your persecution level and then your spiritual. Romans chapter 5 from verse 3 to 9. It will increase your persecution. Have you ever gone to evangelize with somebody? And then you are talking to your sister with a clean mind. After evangelism, can I get your number for follow up? And then the lady will look at you from head to toe. You want that all these church brothers, you want to collect my number. That you start disturbing somebody now. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing? That is why I find it difficult to preach to sister. Because if you want to collect them, they will think you have an ulterior motive. There are people you are stopping them and then they will look at you. And then the way they will look at you, you will look at your shoe very well. Is anything wrong with me? There's a way you go to preach to people and they persecute you. You are talking to them and then they put their earpiece. Talk. And they are doing their thing. Are you done? Thank you. And then they just collect the track and then they will just go. Some will even go away and push, get out of this place, y'all. So there is all manner of past. Do you experience those kind of things? Very, very horrible passage. Somebody that on a normal day you will sleep. Forget this. You just say, you talking to me like this. But because you are preaching, you are under control. I was with one guy. He said, we need to tell you that the guy went to evangelism. And then the guy was saying, is it by force? And the one that was preaching said, guy, I was a talk before, and they started fighting. Physical fight. No, this one is no story. It's real. It's happening real. And they started fighting. Because I carry Bible, you go look down on me. The guy started physical fighting. Because he could not withstand that persecution. So when you go to evangelize, people persecute you. People that, on a normal day. So as they persecute you, you gain self-control and you begin to handle it. You handle it. Now there is nothing somebody can do to me sincerely. Practically, when you go to evangelism, there is nothing nobody can do. Because there is nothing I have not seen again. I have received dirty slap from police. I can't forget that night. When we were coming back from Antagota, that time when I was seeing it. Hey! Don't get that slap me because we went to prison. Dirty slap. The one I have not received and I don't pray I will ever receive is going to prison. Hallelujah. All manner of embarrassment. Because and as those things are happening, your faith is strengthening. Nothing embarrasses you again. Nothing. Before if a lady do that kind of thing to me, I'll just hide myself. But now, nothing is doing me.
I'll just tell you, receive Jesus Christ. If you look at me as if I came to toast you, it's your own conviction. I'll give you your terror. Give me your number. They refuse to give me your number. Let me change your God. Somebody that, not all to your younger sister. Because you came to preach to her. As you do that, then you begin to develop, you begin to look at people. You begin to look. There are people that as I'm inviting them, they know, you know they will not come. The way they're behaving, you know they will not come. They'll still collect the tract. Your tract that you printed with money, in your present, they will fall it in their pocket hand like this, and then begin to match it, or begin to do something like that. Very, very, and I believe some of them, it's not really them doing that thing. It's the devil trying to make you angry. Hallelujah. So your persecution increases. Expect persecution. And as your persecution increases, your strength and your confidence in God, your character becomes stronger. You become selfless. You become selfless. Sincerely, on a personal note now, something that somebody will do to me when I go to evangelism that will make me angry. I don't know yet. Maybe another strategy will come from the devil. But I think I've seen the worst. If somebody can spit on your face, or somebody can get out of this place. Is it by force? All manner of embarrassment. And then, you know, as we do that, we keep doing it with joy. Keep doing it with joy because our reward is inevitably coming. Hallelujah. There are people, you tell them, I know of one of us that is into the marriage relationship program. And herself, she's not in a relationship. And when you listen to her teachings, they are teachings that people need to learn. Because you see marriages of people that are failing, and you know that they don't know these things. And then because she's not married, those people ask her, as you are preaching like this, are you married, sir? You're not married. And then, I forget, Joe. And that thing has a way of, I don't know if you understand me, just imagine a pastor now, he doesn't have a child. And then he's ministering to people, God will give you a child in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you imagine how the people, if the member now begin to look at you, don't have a child, you go and receive a child of yourself. Can you imagine that kind of persecution at all? Yes, it's very, very painful. But as we do that, I was reading a story of a man of God that was having a sickness. It was like an internal sickness like that. Very, very terrible. And then somebody in the crowd came for him to preach for him. And then he started praying. As he was praying for the person, two of them went down under the fire. That means, let's say I am praying for Taye now. And then me and him fall down. Then by the time we stood up, I was healed and he was healed. Do you understand me now? Now he will have said, me too, I have this disease. I cannot heal you because I cannot give what I don't have. He went ahead and ministered compassionately unto him. And then the power that came to heal him also healed him. So we continue our persecution level. We'll always expect it. So don't be ashamed. Another reason why people don't go is because they are afraid of intimidation. They are afraid of people. Hey, see this fine girl. How will fine girl like me be doing evangelism? Hallelujah. How will somebody like this? I don't know, even know what to say. I don't know why did this person insult me? Hallelujah. Why did this person insult me? So that should not be a reason. That should not be a reason. So how, as we go for evangelism, as we go for general evangelism, as we go to preach the gospel, you should always know that you must invest more in your prayer life. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, Luke chapter 18 verse 1, and then Matthew 9:37. You must invest solidly. The Bible speaking about Jesus Christ say, a great while a day before he goes to preach, he goes alone to pray. He goes alone to pray. He goes alone to pray. Because I have noticed, and I've also known by reality, that as you, I gave us, there was a time I was speaking to God when I was doing my IT, that when I was still in school, 400 level. As I was speaking to him physically, you could feel like there was somebody in between us. Like, you could feel the demon standing in between. You could feel the literal resistance. Because I was sensitive in the spirit. Or I was sharp. I was praying perpetually. I could understand it. The more you pray, the more sensitive you become. You don't just go and just stand up and just begin to go. And that is why anytime, of course, every church and every minister of evangelism gather together. And then they pray and trust God for the venture. Anytime you want to go on evangelism, make sure you have sufficient hours of prayer. Now, somebody will say, "Now I cannot pray for 3 hours. That means I cannot go." To the best of your strength, make sure you invest in your prayer life. And then number two is you must always go out. In Luke chapter 8 verse 5, the Bible says, the sower had the seed. He had the word of God. He had the revelation. But you have to step out to people. You have to step out and reach to people and preach the gospel. No matter how the gospel, like we said earlier on, if you don't preach it to people, they will not be saved. And then also, the Bible speaking in Luke chapter 24 verse 49, said, no matter how urgent your mission or your evangelism, the Bible says, make sure you wait till the power and the Spirit of God comes upon you. Secure the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49. Can we read it? Luke 24:49. Jesus came and died, and the reason for his death was for the apostles to go and preach. And then he was telling them not to go. Why? Because, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So no matter how urgent it is, no matter the urgency of evangelism, no matter your passion, make sure you secure the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've been trusting God for crusade. I've been trusting God because I have not had that release in my spirit, like that go ahead. But there is a need, there is a level of grace. You need to be able, you need the anointing. You just need to be anointed to be able to effectively publish the gospel. And then you make sure that you are persistent and shameless. Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 4 and Luke chapter 14 verse 23. You are persistent and shameless. Anytime you go, there are people that you talk to them about the gospel once, they will not listen to you. You talk to them again and again and again and again and again. There are people that you get to an extent where they begin to avoid you. When they see you coming, they begin to avoid you. You are coming from this direction, or they'll just frown their face, knowingly that when you see them, you tell them, I've not seen you last week meeting. Why were you not around? So when they see you coming, they intentionally frown their face. And then you can be ashamed. You can begin to feel somehow. They can begin to play with your emotions, but you must be persistent. You are after their souls. And you know that some of them that have been blinded by the enemy, so you must persist. Even if they frown their face, they tell them, I didn't see you, why didn't you come? Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated. Be bold. Repeatedly tell people, repeatedly. I know people that have been inviting for years. Oh, no, no, years, no. It's not years. Months. Months. I've been inviting, constantly telling them. And then one day it will get, I remember when Ayo came. Remember, you know Ayo, that guy, this guy that stays behind here. The day I saw him, I was shocked. I have been inviting him since last year. Come. Every time I see him, I am coming. And then till the day he showed up. And I I've seen him twice. So be persistent. Keep telling people. And after the meeting, he made me telling me, he was telling me. So all this while, I didn't know. So he would have been hearing this thing. That means he was not himself. It was not he himself that he really didn't want to come, but the devil made sure that he didn't come. So let us be persistent. If there is somebody you have been inviting, don't give up. Keep inviting the people. Keep telling the people about Christ. And don't be shameless. Even if they are telling you no, keep doing it. And then number finally is, always make sure that your lifestyle measure up to your evangelism. Don't tell people, I want to see you in church. And then they are the one, then the next day they see you doing a particular lifestyle, or they see you doing something, or they think, see the person where they invite me, man, go yourself. Now we didn't do for church, but now in our church they do, I know they come. I don't know if you understand me now. I've been inviting you to come to church, then tomorrow you see me kissing a lady by the roadside. Will you come? Of course you will not come. So your lifestyle should be able to measure up to evangelism. So there are a lot of us that, the reason why people come don't really find what we are saying interesting or effective is maybe they don't get to know us, or even if they know us, they know we live a double lifestyle. You are a different person in church, or you are a different person outside. So that when you go for evangelism, I was watching one kid, is it with Tyus one? And the guy went to evangelism and they say, you go to this side. And the side they sent him was a brothel where prostitutes are. And then when they went with the evangelism team, one of the prostitutes recognized him as one of our customers. Say, you too, you joined them. So, because he was living a double lifestyle. So, your lifestyle should be able, the Bible says, woe to you Pharisees, you beat hell and sea to be able to make one proselyte. And then you make him two times a candidate of hell than yourself. So, let your lifestyle measure up. As you are inviting people, let them see it. Let something about your life reflect people about Christ. Let them see that after telling them about Jesus Christ, after a while, they have not been coming to church for 3 years. You that have been coming for 3 years, your life has changed. Or your life is changing. Not that you invite them, okay, oh boy, let's go to church. And then when you come back from church, you are still discussing the same thing with them. You are still doing the same thing with them. You are still browsing the same thing. You are still wearing the same thing. You are still saying the same thing. You are still watching the same kind of things. Hallelujah. So let your lifestyle measure up with our evangelism. And I believe as we keep doing it, let me tell you something. As you are telling people about Christ, you are telling them there will not be result initially. As you are preaching to people, there will not be result. And the God and the devil will make sure that your effort seems to be frustrating. So that they will see that whether you really give up. As you are telling people, you are preaching to people, it will look as if there is no result for a while. Is the devil trying to weary you to see whether you give up what you are doing? Whether you see, okay, I'll make sure that this guy, he sees that his effort is not easy result. So you pray and fast, study, and for a while, no result. So will he give up or will he continue? And then God is watching you. Because the Bible says, who through faith and patience inherit their promise. And we will not give up. We will keep preaching, keep evangelizing, keep telling people. Keep doing it again. A time will come when there will be no longer any resistance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A time will come when there will no longer be a resistance. You are telling people, keep, even if they don't seem to be listening to you, keep telling them for years. Keep telling them. Keep praying. Keep studying. Keep fasting. So long as you know that you are in the will of God for your life, keep doing it. And I believe we'll see results in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as many of us that, you know, there are people that, like I said earlier, there are people that, no matter how frustrated they are, the gospel will never look interesting or like an option to them. Most of them, what you need to do is to invest in prayer. Invest in prayer. Pray. Labor. And the greatest and the strongest part of evangelism is labor in prayer. Labor. Pray. I discovered that there was a time when every Sunday or every, like twice or three times a week, I was constantly going evangelism, inviting people. And all these people praying before going, praying all these people, they did not respond. You will do evangelism, you will tire. Trek phase two, up and down, you'll be tired. And then I discovered that they are not coming. How will I do now? And then I discovered that, okay. No, one day I was in prayer, and then the Holy Spirit tell me, pray more. So one of the days that I used to go to evangelism, I shut up myself. And I prayed throughout those hours I used to go to evangelism. I prayed. And I did it repeatedly. And then I discovered that those people that I used to talk to, that didn't come. After prayers, I didn't talk to them again. But on their own, they began to respond. So as we invest more in prayer, we invest more. I want to let us know that we will definitely see results. Hallelujah. We will definitely see results. And I believe God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. As many of us that need grace to evangelize, the grace will be available to us for this ministry as we clock 1 year very soon. No matter what is our effort, that is officially now. So whatever be our effort of evangelism, people we have been inviting, people we have been ministering to, people we have been relating the gospel to them, and it seems as if they have not been listening. Let's consistently do it. And as many that are not doing, may the grace be available to you in the name of Jesus Christ. So they'll be able to, when you stand before God, you will know that you told somebody about Christ. You told somebody about Christ. Somebody that was missing it, you told him about Jesus Christ. And I believe God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads in prayer and say, Father Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me. Grant me understanding for evangelism. Grant me the passion for evangelism. Grant me the grace for evangelism. Grant me the wisdom for evangelism. Grant me the grace. Grant me the grace. You know somebody that needs to be saved. You don't know how to talk to him. Can you mention his name now in prayer and say, Father Lord, help me.
Teaching and preaching you've just received brought faith, direction, understanding and impartation for your journey. You can make inquiries via 0813-196-7054. Remain rapturable.